So our scripture this morning is from the 10th chapter of Acts, one of the readings from our Bible reading challenge that we're engaged in. And we begin Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through verse 45. Hear the word of the Lord. Peter said, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. This is the message of peace He sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Denny. Well, thank you for being here today. This is known as Low Sunday because after having great attendance on Easter Sunday, it somewhat drops off. It's also known as Holy Humor Sunday. And I have been known to craft services where we even had a stand-up come in and we would celebrate the joy of the Lord that gives us strength, the joy that comes because we are resurrection people. But I didn't call in anyone. But I do have a couple cartoons for you. And the first one I want to share with you is for those of you who go fishing and might see this here. And Moses, stop it. Yeah. Or this one here is for those of you who do housework and God separated the light from the dark. Yeah, I know. And then last one is for the hard of hearing, and where it says, he said, cast the nets. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty poor. I don't know so much what's holy or what's humorous about them, but we'll let you decide. But what I really want to talk about, as this is the theme of sharing your faith, on Friday night, we had the great opportunity to go down to Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And you might wonder to yourselves, what's in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania? Well, it's Westchester University. Well, what's in Westchester University? And at Westchester University, we have some young people who are sharing with and serving with CREW, which once was known as Campus Crusade for Christ, but they are sharing their faith with a generation of students. They're passionately and with great commitment and dedication, they are trying to relay or pass on to share their faith with their peers. And I was amazed at that. Because here's what I understand, and also Jenna, who is doing it internationally. They just didn't appear like this at one time. Like all of a sudden, they had this message from God to share. But since I've been here in September the 10th, what I've come to know is that there is a great emphasis, a great influence, a great work that you all do in helping to share your faith with generations. And so in a very real way, this generation of young adults have been prepared by your prayers, your presence, your inspiration to be able to help them to take then the faith, the same faith that we have outside of these four walls, outside of our community here, and out even to internationally as well. And for that, I think we should be commended and also understand that it must continue. That we are called as a body of believers to be those, as our mission statement says this, and it says that we are opening doors to Christ, one another, and our neighbors. Opening doors is a faith-sharing venture. You open doors not just to have people come in, but you open doors to send people out. And so we come to this passage of scripture, which Denny read, about Peter. Let me give you some contextual background for it. So Peter is there in Joppa, and which is along the Mediterranean Sea, and he's kind of hanging out, and he has this vision in the middle of the afternoon. I don't know if any of you've had visions in the middle of the afternoon. I thought maybe he was taking a siesta and kind of sleeping, but no, it says that he was wide awake, and all of a sudden God showed him a vision that the Holy Spirit captured his imagination, his mind, and there he pictured this blanket that was filled with all of these creatures, and it was coming down from heaven to him, and the voice said to him, "Eat." Now, how many of you have a particular taste in the cuisine that you like to eat? And most of us, it's because of our taste buds, you know, certain things. But for Peter, his culinary eating was based upon what was, quote, clean and what was unclean. And here he was being asked by the Holy Spirit to eat that which he had considered for his entire life off limits. He had considered this type of food not good and impure. But it was more than just food that God was trying to talk to Peter about. God was trying to share with Peter that, as it says one place, is that what God has called good, no one should call impure. And what God was trying to say to Peter is that it's more than just food, it's people. And that if we have groups of people that we have set aside in our lives that are not worthy of the gospel or should not be proclaimed or shared the gospel, Jesus was saying to Peter, open your eyes, Peter. You have to understand, Peter, that God looks at all persons, that God is an inclusive God looking at all persons to worship him and to do what is right. And so because of that vision, Peter was called to the house of Cornelius, a centurion, who was a God-fearing man, but he was still a Gentile. And Peter was going there as an ambassador, as a sharer of faith, to touch the life of that centurion and his there. And so the first thing, that's the context of all that I want to say today. And now looking at it and sharing our faith, I want to tell you the first thing that I see is that sharing our faith is a learning experience. Peter said, I really am learning. And so I want us to know that in our lives with God, following Jesus Christ, is a learning experience. There's never a time when we, quote, graduate and have to stop learning. It's like, Denny, I used to have continuing education requirements, right? And so, even though we had gone through college and seminary, we still were required to do continuing education. I believe that all of us as followers of Jesus Christ are called to continuing education, to learn, to expand, that as God reveals himself to us in deeper and deeper ways and greater ways, that we enlarge our faith. We never make it to a point where, Lord, I know the Bible enough. Don't need to memorize anything else. I've got it down. We never reach that point in our lives that we are. And in fact, one of the things that we talk about as the measures of a disciple of Jesus Christ here at First Church is that we are lifelong learners. That when you connect yourself to being a follower of Jesus Christ, of expressing your faith here amongst our community of faith, that you know that an expectation is a lifelong learner. And what did they learn? He learned that God was expanding the mission field. God was expanding the boundaries of the people who were following God, the circumcised, to understand that there's a whole world out there that God cares for. In John 3:16, when it said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, it says he loved the world, not just the Jewish nation, but he loved the entire world. The second thing I want to share with you about is that sharing our faith is a message of peace and good news. It's a message of peace and good news. This should not be new to Peter, who at that time still had the Old Testament. And I take us back to Isaiah 52. In Isaiah 52 it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. From the very early times in Isaiah, this whole idea of preaching peace, of proclaiming peace, that our faith in God somehow affects peace and is good news. So my question for you is this, what kind of peace are you sharing today? Let peace begins with me is the one graphic. But on the other side, however, is something that doesn't lead to peace. We're very familiar with social media. And it seems that oftentimes social media is being used not to promote peace, but to prevent peace. It's being used to harm other people. It's the place where people might feel free to say things that they would not say anywhere else. They wouldn't say it face to face, but just give them the freedom, the anonymity, as it were, of social media, and they'll get it out there. And they say that. And for those of you who are a little bit older than I am, social media is not new. There was a time and a place, and it was called the party line. Do you remember there were phones at times where you didn't ever have private lines, but you had one phone and it would ring, and depending on how many times it would ring, it would tell you who it was for. But you could pick up and you could listen to your neighbors. Imagine that. Those of you who have cell phones right now and are all concerned about private, what if your parents gave you a cell phone and they said, here it is, use it whenever you want. But just remember this, I can listen in. A completely different experience, isn't it? A completely different experience. Gossip is not peaceful, and gossip is not good. Then the next question I have is the news that you share, is your communication that you share, can it be characterized as good or as bad? If there would be some checklist, some algorithm that could be done, and you would have your conversations analyzed, would that analysis come out that the predominance, the majority of your communication could be considered good news, or is it bad news? Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip, Proverbs says. Liars pay close attention to slander. And I think in the society we live in today, that there's a predominance, it's a leaning towards that kind of communication. And I believe that our sharing our faith needs to speak forth that and speak a peace that comes with, from God, and speak a peace that, or a part that is characterized by good news. The next thing I want to say that this passage tells us about is that sharing our faith is more about Jesus and less about ourselves. It is more about Jesus and less about ourselves. John the Baptist said this in John chapter 3:30. He said, "He, Jesus, must increase while I decrease." Jesus must increase in our lives while we decrease. Does that mean that we become a mat that people walk over? No. Does that mean that we, I don't know what other word, poo-poo our strengths and abilities that God has given us, or downplay them? No. It just means that when we are sharing our faith, we are sharing about our Savior Jesus Christ and not lifting up ourselves. It is like this. C.S. Lewis has this statement. "Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so through you others can see him." If you want to know if you are sharing your faith in a proper way, and in a way that shows forth peace and good news, understand or analyze it by saying, are others seeing me and my light, or are others seeing the light of Jesus through me? The next thing that sharing our faith means, that it's a personal witness. Sharing our faith means it's a personal. You cannot share what you do not have. You cannot give to someone else what you haven't experienced yourself. And God doesn't ask us to do that. Some of us hesitate to think that we can share our faith because we're not Billy Graham. We haven't experienced what Billy Graham has experienced. Well, God isn't asking you to share Billy Graham with other people. God's asking you to share Jesus and what you've experienced Jesus as. I have a video here I want to have played at this time. And to give you a background, it's about a young boy and his dad. And the title of this song is called "I Am Watching You." And I want you to see how the dad shares himself with his son. Could you play that?
We're going to the
song. Hey, little bear. Where'd you learn that song?
You, Daddy.
Oh, you ready to go?
Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, in my four-year-old said a four-letter word. It started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, "Son, now where'd you learn to talk like that?" He said, "I've been watching you. That ain't that cool. I'm
all my food. You grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching. Got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. The next side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight. He crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. I'm fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching you. With tears in my eyes, I wrapped him in a hug. Said, my little bear is growing up. And he said, when I'm big, I'll still know what to do. 'Cause I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. By then I'll be strong and Superman. We'll be just alike, hey, won't we, Dad? When I can do everything you do. I've been watching you. Yeah, yeah. I'm home.
I've been watching you. I've been watching you. I've been watching you. And I guess it goes the other way, doesn't it? Y'all been watching me. That's why this sharing our faith is a personal witness. We want to see how God works out in one another's lives. So that when we see one another dealing with certain things, we can say, oh, so that's how it's done. That's how I can respond. There's where the wisdom is. Watching one another puts this personal story inside our personal story. And so when we think about sharing our faith, I also want to say this. It's not just a young dad and a young toddler as well. For those of you who are midlife and all, young adults are watching you and seeing how you parent your children. Person as myself, an empty nester and semi-retired, people in younger generations are probably watching me to see, what do I do with my retirement? What do I do with my time? How do I find purpose in all? Or do I just step back from it all and say, hey, it's me, it's mine, and just let the world go by? No, it's our personal influence. It's our personal story that can share our faith in profound ways. An emphasis in Scripture comes this way. There's a woman at the well. You remember the story, don't you? Jesus is there and he meets a woman at a well and he tells her everything about her life, and she's transfixed and transformed, and she goes into the village and she talks to the people there and she says, I've met a man. He must be the Messiah, the Redeemer. He's told me everything about my life. And they're intrigued. And as they're intrigued, they go out and then they start talking to Jesus. And as the story goes on, it says this in verse 41. Many more believed because of his word. So they heard Jesus speaking to them and says, and they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. See, it's important to share our faith personally, but our faith, when it's shared personally, has to be transmitted to the next person, and they have to take it themselves. It's like this. Do you ever go to a restaurant and it was a great meal, and you just had to tell some other people about this restaurant, and you talk to them about it, and they're real excited, but they never go. Now, what does that say? Are they going to enjoy the food? Not if they don't go. No, they have to personally go there and personally experience that food that is there. And once they personally experience it, they themselves, inwardly, it becomes part of them, and then they can share it with others. Another illustration that I had is, have you ever set up to a dinner table and you're starting to pass the dishes and there comes a log jam? Somebody is there and they say, oh, this food is really good. And, you know, they're working on the meat and the potatoes and the gravy and everything is there. And nobody else is getting anything because it's all backed up. And finally someone says, here, pass it around. We're going to pass it the other way or whatever, you know, so that it gets shared. That's part of what our faith is like. Is that the faith and the joy of our faith is made for us, true, but it's made to pass on. It's made to share with others. And so I would ask yourself this question. When have you created a road jam in God's love that's coming through you to other people? Have there ever been times when God wanted to touch someone else's life through your life and it got stuck? Maybe because of fear of saying something wrong. Maybe because just the fear of you name the fear, the reason why. I want to encourage you today, because sharing our faith is not optional. It says he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify. The word optional can be translated this: left to one's own choice, not required or mandatory, like formal dress is optional, leaving something to choice. God never gave us that. As his followers, he commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them all that he has commanded, baptizing them in his name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he promises, lo, I am with you always. But it's a command with a promise. It's a command with inspiration. It's a command to say, oh, I'm not just going to throw you out there on your own, but I'm going with you to help share your faith. Because remember, it's not about us as much as it is about him. About Jesus Christ being the one who we share with others. And that others see Jesus more than us. I have a quote here that goes, it says, do not treat God like a spare wheel, which you use when you're in trouble. And maybe I would say, which you only use when you're in trouble. Sometimes that's how we treat God. God's there. Whenever things go wrong, we run to him to get things straightened out. And when things are straightened out, then we go on our way. No, we want to let him be the steering wheel that will guide you to your destination. Think of this. Is it possible that God has a purpose for you and you are the one that he wants to touch, a specific individual? Do you think it's possible that Jesus is crafting your life, forming your personality, molding who you are in such a way that you are the one who will so significantly bring his good news to another person? That's kind of exciting, isn't it? To think that God would pick me out of all the people of the world to be able to go and to make this impact, an impact that's an eternal impact upon a person's life. And certainly if he does it with me, he can certainly do it with you. Maybe even more so. The last thing I want to say this. Sharing our faith may surprise us about others. Do you remember what happened in this passage of scripture? So that the people who were circumcised, the quote in crowd, they were the ones who thought God was working with them, and they shared their faith, and all of a sudden they saw God working in these other people. They saw God working in Gentiles. They saw God working in those who were uncircumcised. They saw God working in those who were kind of cast out. One time in my ministry, I was doing a funeral service, and it was packed. A grandmother had died, but this was a fractured family. You could tell right away that there was tension. They had not gathered together as a whole family for eons. And like I often do, is I give opportunity for people in the congregation, family members, to share about the loved one who had passed away. And people were sharing, and it came time I was going to close it up, and in the back row, a hand went up, and this young man, young adult, dressed in complete black, he was, later on I found out, he was truly the black sheep of the family. First of all, people were even surprised that he showed up. It was the first family gathering that he had been there in who knows when. And he began to talk to his family and to share about his experience with his grandmother. And people's mouths dropped. This black sheep, this castaway, this young grandson who never was around. When had he talked to his grandmother? They hadn't known. How had his grandmother impacted him? They hadn't known. But when he shared what she meant to his life, there were tears. They were surprised. They were astonished. They were amazed that something good could have come out of his mouth without a couple curse words. Sharing our faith means allowing ourselves to open up to the possibility that God is going to speak in and through and work in and through persons that we may marginalize, that we may set aside, that we may not have any idea that God could use them, but he does. And that's part of this resurrection life that we have, this promise of transformation, that when we share our faith and we ourselves are transformed, we can understand that others are transformed. How many of you, Denny, were there any persons who looked at you and said, and he became a preacher? You know, they knew us when we were real young. And they said, how could God work, you know, like that? But God does. That's the surprising thing. when we share our faith, we won't know. We can't see all that God has intended right now. But He calls us to share our faith. I have a quote here. We may be surprised at whom God sends to answer our prayers. When we pray, God works it out to send people to love. The last thing I want to share with you as I close, it says, if you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you share it with people? Well, we, as followers of Christ, we have the cure for death. And so we are called to be those who get out there and share this marvelous story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of God's love, of His grace, of His including all persons, calling all persons to come. And that we are all called to share our faith. Because, brothers and sisters, someone is watching you. Amen.